Okay, good.
Awesome.
Do you have the questions in front of you?
I can get them.
Let me text Tom real quick. Okay.
And do you not have them with you?
I'm just about to open up. I'm just going to the law firm right now. Is this Tony's office? This first one? Okay. Let me text Sean real quick. Are you starting to feel all right? True?
Not really. the best that I could feel for right now, that's for sure.
Yeah. It's just the fact that you're, like you said, feeling, huh?
Yeah. But, you know, it's remnants from hitting my head, so. And
yeah.
All the other PTSD medication and everything. But, I mean, it's a fact of life. I get about one or two bad ones like this a month. It used to be a lot more frequent, so this is actually, you know, the fact that it's only a couple is good.
Right, right. Yeah, it's just one of the biggest things of life, huh?
Yeah, unfortunately.
So on days like this, you kind of just usually lay low, hunker down?
Yeah. I take a Lortab, and that takes the edge off the headaches, and then I just lay down and rest, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Hello?
Hello?
Sean?
Yeah.
Hey, Sean, this is Dwee back in Drew House. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing, man?
Doing well, brother. Doing well. Miss you out here already.
Nice. How's the week treating you?
You know, it's good. Actually, it's a beautiful day in Salt Lake. It's super sunny. Yesterday was nice. Today is nice. We had some snow on Tuesday, but otherwise, it feels like spring here. And so.
All right. Yeah, I'm hoping spring's upon us. I'm ready for it.
Yeah, how's Nashville?
I actually don't live in Nashville, but I live just north of there. I live in Columbus, Ohio, but it's a little different weather-wise, but it's a little colder probably up here. But we had a couple days of
right.
50-degree weather, and then it went to the 30s again. It snowed on us the last couple days, so it's a little up and down here. But it's ready for spring, though.
Right. Amen. Hey, well, I wanted to introduce Drew to you. I can let Drew introduce himself to you. Drew has opened for several large bands. He actually toured with some of the Passion crew for a bit. Drew, do you want to share with Sean a little bit about your background? And then?
Well, I'm a nobody. is bent on serving the king, so.
Well, that's good.
But now I've had the opportunity to open for Michael W. Smith, The Digital Age, Crowder Band, Sanctus Real, and a few others. But I'm a retired Army veteran and now just a worship pastor, just sharing my heart.
Oh, that's cool, man. That's awesome. It's cool how those doors open, man, when we're following our passions and the thing God's like calling us to, and it's awesome. How long
Definitely.
Have you been at it?
I've been at music my whole life. I'm a keyboard vocalist is my primary instrumentation, but I started recording when I was 19. I've put out a few albums. Nothing ever went big, but really don't want to get super big, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, in all actuality, I would always tell anyone you never measure your achievement by others' achievements, because it's like what you're doing might be different than what someone else is doing, and it doesn't mean that it's not being used in the same way, and you know, all that. And when people are always wanting the same thing, I always think that maybe their heart might not quite be in the right position, if that's the goal, you know. And I think God honors the purity of our hearts as much as we can have it, when we try to humbly just give our gifting back, you know.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. Definitely agree.
That's Sean, I appreciate that. I just saw that you just launched your new album.
Well, the record's not out yet. The first single just came out. We just hit the radio with that, like 3 weeks ago, maybe. We're getting ready to ramp it up here in a minute. The record comes out in April. So the single's out. People can grab the single or whatever. But the record itself is it's on its way. It's slowly approaching. I'm ready for it to approach. But
amen. Yeah. Amen. I remember the conversation we had when you came in, and I really appreciate it. You had mentioned that you felt like this new album, there's a different sound that's just gonna that might even like cater towards towards a lot of like towards an outward focus, like towards the unbeliever, perchance.
Sure. Yeah, I mean,
can you talk a bit about that, or?
Yeah, I've been doing the art thing, or music or whatever. I mean, I've been doing art my whole life. Like I've always been someone that's done art since I was like 4 years old. It's just been in different mediums as my years have progressed. The whole music thing, you know, like I started writing songs in my late teens, you know, like my early 20s is kind of when it all started really moving. I think when I came into it, I didn't really know what my purpose was or even why I was doing it. You know, I wasn't writing songs for anybody other than I was just writing songs because it was a reflection of what I was thinking about. And more, it was like kind of like I look at it as like therapy sessions with God, really. You know, I was just spewing it out there, all this stuff that was going on inside of me. And I believe God used a lot of that to help me discover who he's created me to be and myself and how to love him and people better. And so that's kind of where the whole birth of music for me came from. And over the years, I've as I pursue God and purpose and trying to figure out, you know, what exactly am I doing here and why am I making music and what do I want to achieve? And, you know, and a lot of my early records were very vertical, which I'm glad about that, and those are a season of life. And as I progress as an artist, my music isn't as much vertical and it's more horizontal, and the reason for that being is because I feel like God is maturing my heart to a manner where it's not just about him and I, but it's about me sharing the life that he is giving to others. And so as I progress that direction, I guess I really try hard not to isolate human beings. And so I guess the language that I am trying to use is I try to be very current and in hopes that I can draw people in so that they can learn more about just the life that God has given me and ultimately, hopefully, draw them to him. You know, so this record is definitely that was my goal and my aim, and hopefully I achieved it. I don't know. We'll see. But it's definitely got a more mass feel, and it's still very core principle of just the life that God has given me. But I'm just trying to speak in a language that will reach non-believers, because I believe that a lot of Christian music is written for the church, and so I have a different approach, because I feel like we're called to be a light in the darkness, and sometimes I feel like all we are is a light within the light, which just becomes a muddled mess, and so as I approach my musical journey, it's my goal is more to reach lost people. And so it puts a harder challenge, I think, for me, because the secular world isn't as they want to be entertained. They're not as into the heart aspect a lot of times as maybe the church folk are, and so it's they don't understand a lot of the language and the tag phrases and all that stuff. So it's all that to say, I don't even really know what I'm trying to say, is just this record is, it's kind of a, it's the journey that I've been on, but it's just kind of a picture of that heart as I've grown over the years. And I hope that we'll reach, folks and help them through whatever moment of life they're in. I've had a really, I'm not going to say my life has been all hardship. It hasn't. I had really great moments and times along the way. But there's been a lot of hurt and pain along the way as well. And the reality is, the more people you talk to, the more you realize that story is more common than not. The world we live in is just so full of sin that we are all coming from broken places. And so it's just, for whatever reason, God has really used the music that I have created over the years to really do a lot of healing in the hearts of individuals and people and drawing man to himself as I do this thing. I don't really get it, but, God does what he does, and so that's kind of, that's the at least the goal and the hope in my prayer as I've prayed over this record. That's the hope, is that it'll just be another healing source and a place for people to find peace and joy, hopefully, and taste what God is, because I think the more that they taste what God is, the more they don't want to, or hopefully won't want to taste what God isn't, and such.
Well, that's even, you're not only a poet in your music, but just in discussion, you talk about being a light in the darkness versus a light in the light. I haven't heard of it referred to that before. I think Drew and I are both, we have similar hearts in the sense of outreach. And Drew has he can share himself, but he had a huge heart for reaching those that typically the church doesn't always reach out to. And you know my heart as well. And so it's beautiful to hear you just share your position and your heart cry and right now. And do you have a particular letter or just a note of inspiration from a fan or someone that has written to you that has shared about the healing that some of your music has brought? Because I know I've heard a lot of stories myself here personally, but do you have one that you can recall or that has touched you?
I'd probably have to go digging. I receive a lot of emails, an enormous amount. And they're from all ranges of emails. Some are very, very simple and to the point, and some people just like the music and they just want to thank you. But then you get those emails along the way of people pouring out their situation or talking about the crap that they've gone through and how God somehow met them in the middle of that using the music. And we hear a lot of different a lot of different stories. You know, it's always pretty crazy to me, and a lot of them, you know, bring me like a lot of emotion, because it's just I really sometimes don't get it. It's you know, there's way better music out there, and there's just so much going on, and the fact that somehow people stumble upon it, or the songs become, they breathe life into people, or, you know, like they somehow become part of people's stories, is always a pretty crazy thing to me, and a very it brings me a lot of joy, to know that people, it's just one thing to do things, and you know, and being an artist, I think we always want to make great art, but at the end of the day, you can be praised all day long for the art, but if it isn't actually impacting human beings, that praise just goes away, and it's just that, but there's a difference, there's different weight and gravity that comes, I think, with songs that are moving a human being to be different and to change themselves and their life and to look deeper within and to help them out of dark spots we fall into, because, you know, I know it too, all too well of finding yourself in a dark hole and not being with no light, not knowing how to get out. And you know, I definitely hear a lot of pretty incredible things, how people meet, or how God meets people in the midst of that.
Yeah, that's amazing. Sean, what would you say is the heart of your message to the world through your music? If you had one core message to share, you might have already shared it, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely all wrapped up in, you know, like some of the things that I was just talking about. You know, honestly, at the end of the day, man, I don't know that I have a full purpose or a full goal in mind. My goal is more to live my life in purpose, and you know, I'm not held accountable for other people, like their hearts towards God. I'm only held accountable towards my heart towards God. And so in that, like, I'm learning is probably the strongest word I could put on it, is how to be faithful. And faithful by, as I pursue music and trying to become a better artist and a better writer and a better musician and all these things, the underlying foundation of that is rooted in the fact that I want to do all things for God, and I want to do it all to the best of my ability, because I believe that He gives us gifts and talents for reasons, and so I'm just trying to learn how to invest that. So so I guess a long way to say, my goal, or my message, I guess, is it's ever changing. I don't know that it always is. You know, it's different seasons and different times. But I just try to share the journey of what God is pushing me through and towards and away from, and try to paint pictures of experiences. Because every song that I write it usually comes out of some form of experience. Like it comes out of some place that I've been, and they're just windows of history, in a sense of, you know, and the reality of God is, you know, like He's always taking us through new challenges and new places in our lives. So those windows always look different, and so I guess on a if you want to go to the cliche thing to say, it's just like my goal is always to honor God, but I think it's even deeper than that. It's just to learn how to accurately portray who He is, and even how to live that myself, because it's one thing to sing about it and to talk about it, but it's another thing for it to be so real and alive in your life that your life changes and becomes what you say. And I see a lot of quite the opposite, I have in the years of being in this industry, and it's even seducing to myself. So it's like it's a constant fight and battle to remain as pure as possible in the midst of an industry that is it's quite a force, it's a machine, you know, and how to
right.
authentically make music that still has emotion, but it somehow reaches a mass group of people. It's a challenge. And it's, at some point, you do your best, and at some point, you just have to trust that God will take your offering and use it. But I'm quick to say I don't really have close to all the answers. I'm just kind of stumbling along, trying to figure it out, you know, and trying to be humble.
Well, Sean, I appreciate your humility and your realness and your authenticity. I think that's one thing that in sharing about you with people here and you know, just hey, you know, Sean's coming in. That's one thing that so many people would mention is that when you, I mean, just by sharing who you are and again, the real you without a front or anything, knowing that we all are, this is, you know, salvation is a process. It's so encouraging, and I think it allows others to relate to you so much more. And your, you know, your music, whether I watch YouTubes of your songs and music and worship, it's your expression is, it wouldn't seem that the words that you're sharing and the lyrics that you're sharing and singing about, it wouldn't seem that they're nothing more than just truly from the heart. And so I appreciate that very much, and just your relatability in that sense, it allows your listeners and those that care about you and to be able to really relate and share in that. So thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you.
As well, you know, Drew and myself, as you know a little bit, we also are, Drew much longer than myself, are aspiring musicians, and we do find that some of the stuff that we try to write are, they come from some of those personal situations. And I know you've shared about your past quite a bit. And do you have any, maybe, you know, one particular experience that inspired a specific song over the years or on this new album by chance?
I mean, not every song has a massive story to it. But
sure,
they definitely have a rooting of places. I mean, the song that's out right now, We Are Brave, like that's one that, like growing up, I was a very timid kid, and I still am pretty timid. I'm not a very outvert person. I'm not very, I'm pretty introverted. And growing up, you know, I was always a really, really little kid in school and was picked on a lot. I was never good at sports. I never really fit in, and I was never like one of those kids. And so I guess, which I'm glad, because I think it built a lot of character in me, but I just struggled a lot over the years with being, you know, just courageous and like believing that I could be something and do something with my life, because I just felt like everybody else had the, you know, like were gifted and whatever, you know, like I keep referring to sports, but because like as a kid, you know, I always wanted to be good at that, and the guy that, you know, kids would pick to be on their team, and that was always a last pick, you know. It was not like I was the little guy that nobody wanted on the team, you know, because I just wasn't good. And it's whatever, but it's what I didn't realize, I think, when I was younger, and I've learned over the years, it's just like there's something that happened in that courageousness or in the, you know, being brave in ourselves and putting our personality out there. And you can't please everyone. You never will be able to. You can try your hardest, but I feel like if you try too hard, you end up becoming kind of like a chameleon. You know, you turn whatever color you need to turn in the moment of whatever you're in. And in reality, I think, you know, it's learning to be authentic and learning, you know, like, just to be brave and who God has created us to be and be bold, you know, in your personality. And if someone doesn't accept you, it's okay. And you move on and stuff. So when I wrote that song, really, I mean, I spend a lot of time in prayer when I'm writing. And I'll be up into the wee hours of the night thinking and contemplating and lots of discussions. Like some would say I'm having discussions with myself, but I speak out aloud a lot and talk to God and it's how I kind of like sift through all the stuff within. But that's kind of where that song came from. And then I attempt to write it in a manner that hopefully others can relate it to their own life, even though the situation might not look the same. But it does.
Wow. Well, that's interesting. You started your response with not every song has a big story, but that one has a huge story, your life story. And thank you. It's interesting. You know, you talk about the word courage, and there's not always just the like the going to battle, like physical battle, but also there's a reference, I think, in the dictionary with just the emotional vulnerability. And I think that's from my experiences with you, that's been something that you've been very courageous in, is how vulnerable and transparent you are as a person, which I think just makes you even more relatable and authentic. And so I appreciate that. When I remember watching you interact with at the gala, and watching you interact with different people, and when you talk about being the introvert and not as outward, which it seems like there's a little bit of juxtaposition with you know, who you are and being a public figure. But I really admire your one-on-oneness with individuals and how you would truly engage. I'm like the border collie. Obviously, I was in the middle of a, you know, a little event and kind of all over the place. But I watched that, and it's such a wonderful quality to have, where you just engage, whether it be the photographer at the end of the night or some of our fans or whatever you want to call them. Some of our guests, that you would just engage and be in that moment and be in that place. It's an amazing place to be, especially when you have when there can be so much coming at you. You know, I don't know if you have anything to comment on that, or I guess my question is, how do you get to that place?
it's taken me lots of. It's taken me lots of practice and doing things that are uncomfortable. You know, I remember the first time I played in a live setting, and I couldn't look at the people. I could hardly even put my head up. I was so scared that my knees were shaking. I still remember it. It was just this overwhelming sensation of fear. To the point of almost like crippling, over the years, I just, regardless of what things look like and feel like, I just keep like trying to go into it headstrong, regardless, and it's resulted in tons of stumbling along the way, you know, a lot of failing, because when you don't know something, you're bound to mess it up, and probably more than once. So there's been a lot of that, over the years, just kind of trying to figure out who I am, and you know, because those things are definitely not comfortable for me. They're something that I have to work, and it's encouraging for me to hear you say that you thought I was good at those things, because those things that I feel like I'm very bad at. But it's, you know, I guess I think one of the lessons that I've learned over the, at least in the last couple of years, is the people who you touch are in a personal or in a, like a one-on-one or life experience are just as important as everyone else. You know, like say I'm shooting a music video, like I honestly went into that music video, I just shot one, with my goal in mind was not necessarily just to make a great music video, but my goal in mind was to care for the people who were serving me to create the music video. And that's something that I've had to, that's taken me a long time to figure out, and I don't even know if I have fully figured it out. But the people who you encounter on your day-to-day life are valuable and important, and I think sometimes in this industry, you know, everything, you know, when you're an artist and you have some form of fame and people know who you are and everybody kind of like is working for you or whatever it is, you know, it's easy to all of a sudden think you're bigger or better than the other people because you have some kind of gifting that they don't or whatever it is. But I think one of the things I'm learning, I'm trying to learn, is that it's almost, for me, it's more important to invest in those people who are serving me, you know, like whether it be like my management company or the, you know, the record label that I'm signed with. It's just, it goes a long ways to speak life into the people around you who you touch on a day-to-day basis. And I think it can become easily, those people can be easily forgotten. And, you know, you focus on your fan base or you focus on whatever it is. And at one point in time, you have to be like, well, I'm just a man. I can't do it all and hope that there's forgiveness on the relationships that you hurt along the way, because there probably will be some, most likely will be some, unless you're just some phenomenal, be able to juggle a million things at once, which is not me. But definitely challenging for me.
That's wow. You know, Sean, I just, my prayer, and I'd love to pray for you at the end of this, is just, and hearing your heart more and more, and that perspective of wanting to bless those that serve you, instead of saying, well, you know, you work for me. And that's, I think it's what a lot of employers or people think about. They think that it's you know, they're doing this for you, and so I said the attitude might be different, and to hear you, your desire for that, and to be in that place is beautiful. And my prayer is just that God would just continue to bless your humility and just take you on a vertical path, you know, upwards, just with your career and what you're doing and whatnot. Hey, whether you mentioned you traveled to Zimbabwe, and what led to you visiting Africa? Initially,
you know, the opportunity came in. I was raised in a very small town, like 7,000 people lived. I was raised up in the mountains of Oregon. I never really had seen much of anything. I had never traveled. I had never been to other countries. I had never done any of those things. So I think when you ask that question, I would like to say, well, I'm just like this huge humanitarian that like has a vision for saving the world. I don't know if that's the truth. I was presented with an opportunity to go and to be educated, really. And I knew nothing about it. I knew nothing of what I was going into. Oh, you hear stories or whatever, but until you've actually experienced it, you don't really know. And so I was presented with this opportunity. It was with World Vision at the time, and they had just, you know, they had kind of been wanting to work with me. And I'm real funny with stuff like that, because I won't just sign up with something just for the sake of signing up. I really have to believe in it because I don't want to disturb them, along with be not honest with, you know, I don't want to support something that I don't know that I fully even engage myself. So they asked me if I'd be interested in spending some time in Africa, and I said, well, yeah, I'd love to see what you do, and so that's kind of how it all came about. And we spent 3 weeks in Zimbabwe, with a few days in Johannesburg, South Africa, and really, I saw all sides of things. I saw city life, and I saw the bush, and we lived out in the bush for the 2.5 weeks or whatever we were there, and just kind of experienced all sorts of things. Some things were very heartbreaking, and some things were very joyous, and it was just a lot of different emotion, and it was a very amazing experience. Crazy for me to see. I think the overwhelming thing that I got more from it than anything was the insane sense of joy these people had, and the reality is they had little to nothing, and these people they're just so joyous, so happy, and I think I left that experience thinking, I think I came into it being like, well, I have something to offer these people, and I left being like, oh my gosh, you know, like, these people had something I don't know that I fully have, you know, like, they had nothing, but they were so ecstatic and full of life and joy, and, you know, they had their families, and they had songs and dance, and they just, you know, like, I don't know, I just think sometimes our priorities are completely whack, where we think we need all this clutter in our lives in order to bring our self-satisfaction and joy, and I don't know how accurate that is. It was proven to me to not be accurate at all when I saw people who were so full of life and had nothing. And it was just a really good experience to kind of be that way myself, you know, to be completely unplugged from technology and you know, like, not even knowing what we were going to eat the next day, and having even some strange things put it in front of us, you know, it was, you know, just trusting, but it was a really weird season too for my life, because I literally got on the airplane and flew back from Africa and landed in San Diego, and I boarded a cruise ship, literally. Boarded a cruise ship, and then I did a music cruise, and where I was playing on a cruise ship, and I went from poverty, like beyond poverty, to like wealth and abundance of food, and like these people were starving, and then here I am a week later on a ship where they're just throwing away pounds of food, you know, like it was just such a whirlwind of emotion and feeling, almost like sickening to me a little bit. But not that one way is right and wrong. I don't know. But it was just interesting. It was such an interesting perspective to know that there's parts of the world that people are starving and don't even have clean water. And in other parts of the world, you know, they have more than they need, and throwing it away. It was interesting.
Yeah, I imagine the emotions that you felt coming from South Africa, Zimbabwe to was that the Caleb cruise?
It was that like that. It wasn't that one particular, but it was one of those. So it was. Yeah, which it was a good experience. I enjoyed it, but, you know, it was whatever. But it was just such a weird experience to have back to back. Maybe God designed it that way on purpose. It's like the difference between black and white. It was just bipolarly different worlds.
Yeah, that's amazing. I had the experience to go from Ethiopia to the Middle East to the United Arab Emirates, and I can feel where you're coming from, to your point. And I appreciate just when you talk about how, and that's so important, you know, that one way isn't right or wrong, and just your heart again, and not being judgmental towards, the living with, I guess, all that we live with the abundance that we live with here. But Sean, I appreciate your heart in every sense, and thank you for sharing that. Why is it important for you to support an organization like the Virtual Foundation and our mission in particular, like Hugs for Tugs and what we're doing in East Africa?
Well, I think as a Christian and as a believer in Christ, and I think that's part of being a follower of Christ, as he called us to love on the broken and feed orphans and widows and like to love on people and to bring change. I mean, it's different for a non-believer because I don't know that they feel the same call, but as a believer, I feel called to serve and love other people. And so, I'm all about anyone that's doing that, like whether they're a believer or not, I'm still supportive of them. And the reality is I still think that is good and still of God, because I believe that God allows us to do good things, and they might not even know that they're doing God's work, but I believe they might be, and so I really think it's important that we find places to give our lives, and our life doesn't have to be that's all it is. If you feel called to that, then I'm excited for you, and I'm going to cheer you on. But at the same time, I think that even in our everyday life, I think we can be a part of the change of this world, and I think we should be. I think anybody you would ask would agree with the reality that they want their world to be a better place, and they want, they want love to be the key factor. I mean, there's probably some weird people out there that don't, but I think that at the bottom line, most human beings identify with that. I think it's important that we support and support those who have those visions. Because every one of us is different. We all have different giftings. We all have different desires. We all have different, like, our stories are all look differently, and that's kind of what makes it all go around. Like a guy like you, who you seem to be someone who is giving your life to that, and that's your for me it's music, but that's your, it feels that way, and I don't want to speak for you because I don't want to put words into your mouth that may not be accurate, but it seems like your heart is there, and you need people like me or the everyday human being that's here in America or wherever they're at, to support you so that you can fulfill your vision, just like I need people to support my music so I can do the same. It's like we all need each other. It all goes around with one another. There's no solo thing going on here, I don't know if I'm just running around circles or if I'm...
No, amen. Yeah, I think going to the body of Christ and the Lord, he's laid on my heart several times, it's a team, like a football team. There's no one player, and to have each of us support in different capacities, and not one part's more important than the other, but... some might get a bit more exposure, like the head versus, I think I'm like the armpit or something, or the toe. But Sean, I thank you for, we appreciate again just the support that you provided for the foundation, and and your willingness to come out here and play and just bless, you know, bless our little community here in Salt Lake and whatnot. Well, Sean, do you have a message that you would want to share with your fans, or just maybe those that the foundation touches in particular?
What do you mean?
I don't know. It just a message that maybe I don't know, an ending comments that you'd share with the foundation or with those that I guess we're trying to work with, or maybe even for your album too that's coming up, or that you might have already shared that, but if not, that's fine too.
I don't know off the top of my mind. You know, I don't know that I necessarily have an agenda. You know, I'm grateful for the opportunities that come my way. And
sure.
You know, like
sure.
I'm not one to really plug you know, like my music.
Yourself.
It's you know, like I want people to hear it, but at the same time it's, you know, like I don't want to force it either. You know, like I don't know. There's something for me that's kind of a turn off when that's all people talk about. And and that's just for me personally. But it's, I don't know, man. I wish I had like some tag phrase to say, like,
sure,
encourage the world. I don't know, man. I just think that when we live authentic and when we're honest with ourselves, and I think we need to start with ourselves and with God, our lives can do big things, and God can use a humbled heart way more than one who thinks they got it all together and can, it's already figured it out, you know. And I'm a key or prime example of God taking a broken wreck of a human being and breathing life into that wreck and somehow using a wreckage to do huge things. And man, I guess maybe that's my message. It's just that I believe God. That's, and I don't think that's for me only. I think that's for anyone, you know, that wants to, you know, I don't think there's a club that only certain people are invited to. I think it's a much wider thing, and I think God desires us. So, and I'm a product of His desire, because I was a broken, drugged out kid at one point in my life, and somehow God met me in the midst of my mess. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's, Sean, I think that's a great message. I appreciate that. Just, I guess, being an example of a broken wreck that God has breathed into, and God has breathed into you and filled you and filled those cracks and filled right through them. I remember hearing a poem about he doesn't want to like fix the cracks. He just wants his love just to pour right through them, you know, as a vessel, and he does that in your life and in abundance, my friend. Well, Sean, I know that we had talked a little bit about getting you to Tanzania, and especially with the specific intent of blessing the orphanage with of singing with them and our children, you know, and even going and maybe doing a song with the children or doing a little video with the children. We would, as a foundation, would still love to support that purpose. And maybe offline, you and I'd love to follow up with you on that as well and have some discussions on getting you to Tanzania and maybe doing a song with the children and whatnot. It's funny that, you know, like music permeates every culture. It doesn't matter if it's in even, and I'm sure you're exposed to this, in the remote villages, music seems to still bring so much life. And so we, if you're so interested, would love to help facilitate that with you. We're looking at maybe even a fall trip. And that's flexible too, because I go back so often. But Would you still be interested in doing that in the future, or having more discussion on that?
No, I'd be interested in that. Let me talk with my my manager and let me think about it for a bit. And I don't want to be a glutton of jumping at an opportunity, but at the same time,
exactly.
You know, if the opportunity is right, I would love to see what your world looks like and experience that. You know, I'm definitely never shy from an experience. I would love to keep talking with you, what that would look like, I don't know if you have like something that I could go through and really dig deeper. Maybe your site have some of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a generic mission packet. Obviously, if you were to join us, it would be specific towards. I think with the intent of recording a song with the children and being a part of that and whatnot. But yeah, we definitely have a general overview I just kind of wanted to hear your heart and begin to pray about it and see, you know, God's leading on it. And
as far
we'll definitely
as, like,
get,
the,
help facilitate.
Like the choir or the kids, do they learn the songs basically or the music or how does it?
Yeah. So, I mean, they do. And it can be obviously a smaller role. They have tons of their own stuff. And then other things but other ones, like if it's like a repeat or something like that, then yeah, they're very much on pitch. And there's definitely, you know, studio time that requires, several reiterations and takes of them singing and whatnot until we get it right. And there's a choir director in the local church that, where we would record that helps facilitate them and loves them and cares for them just as much as we do. And so that would be there would definitely be some development time and work. But we're usually able to get them into the studio in a full afternoon. And there's also opportunity that there's some local small stations nearby as well that will bring the children on to sing and we could try to facilitate that as well. And so it's a fun little town, and both from, you know, the villages up the mountain at the base of Kilimanjaro, just kind of coming in. And, but it's not like you, as you mentioned before with your experience in Zimbabwe, it's both city and, whether it's development versus and also areas where there'll be no electricity or water that we'll be in and whatnot. And so. Yeah, I would love it if you just continue to pray about it and I can get some information over to you as soon as possible and then just look at, begin to maybe propose some initial dates and see what God has in store.
Dewey?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Drew. I just want to step in on that real quick.
Sure. Go ahead.
Dewey and I haven't really talked about this a whole lot, but, on that trip, I have a remote Pro Tools rig and everything that could also be available, so you could be we could get some high quality recordings of that as well. I could pack up my studio for that.
Well,
awesome.
It seems like I think what keeps going through my brain is I think it could be really powerful. Like even that song We Are Brave, I've even thought about this outside of this, that having a bunch of little kids singing that, like to me, it's like that's kind of part of the reason why I wrote that song. It was like, it's almost like I say we are brave, but in hopes that the people who listen to it will take that on and a hopes, I guess, instilling bravery into them in a sense, because they might not even be brave or know that they can be. And so it's just like, I don't know. It seems like that could be a very moving concept to see a bunch of little kids. Singing something like that. I don't know. I keep thinking.
Yeah, I think that sounds. That's a. I'm sorry. I haven't heard. I just saw the album cover or the single cover. I'm sorry, not album cover. The single cover for that. That's why I thought you'd launched the whole album. But I saw the We Are Brave and you know your profile body shot on the front cover, and so. That'd be great, and I can pray about that, and Drew, thanks for your input on that as well, and we'd love to see how we could facilitate that, and Sean, for yourself, however you think, if you want the children to, but yeah, like I said, have a choir piece, and we'd also, it'd be great too, Drew and I were talking about this recently, was just about having music videos attached to almost every single song. And I know that you said you just filmed your first one, but it seems that the exposure that it helps bring through, you know, electronic means, with especially YouTube and whatnot, seems to be very powerful for the musician, and I'm sorry, for the recording artist. So that'd be fun to have, that could be part of our, that we would have an agenda of having the song recorded, and then also having at least a key footage filmed out there. We would probably try to storyboard the song beforehand, and then having that captured when we're in country, and then have all the editing done back here in the States would be an amazing opportunity. And for me, it's as like you said, what's going through your brain is what's going through my heart right now. It's just it marries the heart that I love for worship and to the Lord, and then, but more importantly, the children and our purpose as an organization and bringing that all together. And so it, the more I think about it, the more excited I am and whatnot. So that would be amazing if you wanted to share that song with them. What is your anticipated release date for your album as a whole?
April 15th.
Oh, okay. So you're right around the corner, huh?
Yeah, the pre-order I think starts next week. But in fact, if you want to hear that song, I believe you can get it on Noise Trade right now for free. So if you go to Noise Trade, you should be able to download a 5 or 6 song sampler. Brave is the only new song on that sampler, but it's kind of like we kind of giving it out right now for free, just to kind of, you know, it's been a while since I've put out anything, so we're just kind of trying to freshen up it right now. But just so you know, you can just go grab it. You don't even have to go buy it.
Yeah. Well, we would love to help promote your new album, and obviously we want to share this interview with our followers and with our friends and whatnot, and maybe we could have that album or that song sampled somewhere, so people get an idea of just to hopefully expose you a bit more and whatnot. But I think a video and a song would be fun with the children overseas.
Yeah, you should take a listen and see what you think, and see if it feels like something that would be a good fit. You know, because you would know that world better than I would. But it's something in me just says that song would be powerful done like that.
I think the song itself, just the title of the song, We Are Brave, and it's something that the children, just because of what they go through, you know, we had one child that, I'm thinking about Jonasy in particular, who's a part of the, we don't pull all the children from the orphanage, we only get those that haven't been naughty, and those that can sing. And they all can sing, but some sing better than others, of course. But and also whatever we can fit in the van that day. But he was given an assignment at school by his teachers on what he thought about caning. And I just want to share this, sort of maybe just pulling your heartstring somehow. And he wrote that he disagreed with it, and four grown men caned him to the point where it's an acceptable practice in that culture. We obviously don't agree with it as an organization, but Mama Faraji, the mom of the orphan, she had to withdraw. She called the authorities on the school. She withdrew him from school and put him into a different school. And we had a full-time teacher from Canada who had been there for 2 years, and that was her life. And she resigned from the school after that happened. And he now speaks. He's 9 years old, 10. He's just turned 10. He actually speaks on child empowerment and being courageous as a child, and the First Timothy concept and encouragement to not let others look down on children because of their youth and whatnot. And he actually wrote a song after that incident. I haven't heard it. I asked him to try to find it, and he's like, I can't find it, They can't find their socks some days. But your song from the title could bring some tremendous encouragement. And we'll start there and then just see what God has in store, and would be so humbled to have you join us.
Cool, man.
Right on. Well, brother, how can we bless you at this point? I appreciate it. I wanted to share this, that you're obviously very just secure in who you are. And when you talk about people only want to talk about the music or this and that, but, you're in a position that that's not the last thing you, that's not the last thing you want to talk about, but it's not the first thing. And it's a place of peace and a place of just security in who you are in God. And I'm glad that others, such as your management and labels, do want to represent and promote you, because I don't think you would do it yourself. And we as an organization only want to bless you as well. And do you have any specific prayer requests, or how can we bless you at this point, just to kind of wrap this up?
That's always a hard question for me to answer. I always have a hard time accepting prayer from others, because I feel like there's so many others that need it so much more than myself. Not that we don't all need prayer, but, I just never know fully how to answer. I don't have any major things happening right now, I guess this is my record approach, is it's just that, that I can be clear headed and, just make good choices, because I got some pretty major opportunities arising right now. So I guess it's just wise and whatnot as I navigate through. I don't want to say too much, but a lot of mainstream stuff is happening right now. I've been flying out to LA a lot. I'm not sure what's happening or what we're doing, but again, I'm surrounded by lots of men that don't have the same vision as I do. And so it's always, it's a scary thing to trust, and not that I even necessarily trust men, I trust God, but it's a scary thing to be, when money is typically the driving force for most of stuff, which I just see that as an avenue of being able to achieve more of my goals and aspirations. But it's learning to be able to walk amongst those worlds, but stay integrity, still have integrity, I guess, and make good choices and just love the people around me, because I think it matters. I would say, if you want to pray, maybe just pray that God continually strengthens my heart, my mind, and I stay sharp.
Amen. Well, I don't know if I told you, but I the Lord has called me to move to Los Angeles, and so
really?
I'm keeping my home in Salt Lake. Yeah, and I'm actually going out there April 3rd. I'm actually sitting in front of, he's looking at me right now, my attorney, who's licensed both in California and Utah, and he's done some great entertainment law. I know you're well exposed to this, but if you need some good counsel, and he's someone that I care about. We actually used to roommate a long time ago together, and I care about him very much so. We'll definitely have to talk offline more, my friend, and about that. And if I may, I'd love to bless you. And Drew, if you want to close, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Father God, we just lift up Sean to you, and I thank you so much just for his heart for you, Jesus. And I cherish the time that we had at lunch. It was a little bit busy in that little Vietnamese restaurant, but the sandwiches were good. And then also just the interactions I had with him, with Sean that day, Father God, and just so humbled by the heart that you've created in you, Jesus. And as he has these opportunities come up, Father God, I pray that, you know, he's obviously being exposed to more in the world, which is the ministry that you've called him to, Father God, is to bring light to the darkness. And so his heart for that, I think you're answering that prayer request. At the same time, he's in that world. And so I pray that he would evaluate with just prayer everything that, whether it's a signature on something or whatnot. I know that you've spoken to me directly about those type of relationships as well, Lord, especially in Los Angeles in particular, but that you would give him clarity, you give him wisdom, Father God, that you would surround him also with more godly men and women, Jesus, that would give him counsel, the right counsel, Lord, to help him navigate through this, Lord, ones that that walk in the gift of discernment, in the prophetic, Father God, that will help speak to his heart, Lord, specifically about things, but that he would always weigh all that counsel that he receives from others, Lord, against your word and in prayer himself, Father God. And so I do pray that you bless this next season in his life, that you bless him with abundance, Lord. I pray that you would, that you would coordinate an opportunity for us to be able to connect again, especially out in Los Angeles, especially as I look at moving out there. And that you'd give him a body of believers, both obviously he has that at home, but also out there, that he can seek. That will just be refreshing to him when he's in the middle of, especially the exposure that he's getting and the opportunities that are coming before him. And I think you just have, he doesn't want to jump into any, be a glutton of just any opportunity, but, you know, to really prayerfully discern each, Lord, that you would just, you'd bless that, him walking in that, Father God. And I thank you. I thank you for his hands. I would just bless his hands, Lord, and his voice that reaches to so many others, Lord, that touches so many others and brings healing to so many broken lives and hearts, Lord. Whether my friend Liz, who went through a divorce and just cherished his music during that time, Lord, or myself, Father God, I pray that this new one, and We Are Brave in particular, Lord, would speak to the demographic that exactly, not just to those that know you, Lord, but those that don't know you, Jesus. And I thank you that he's allowing us to be a part of his life in just a little sense, and continue to bless him, Father God. And so I thank you. I thank you for Sean. And we just pray for a greater anointing, Lord, over him. And I just speak something went over him, Lord, that you would just renew his strength like a youth, Lord, that flies on eagle's wings, Father God, and just take him into a new level, a new atmosphere, Jesus, this next season for him. In your holy and precious name, Lord.
And Father God, just, again, we praise your holy name, God, for all that you are and all that you do, God, and just how magnificent you are in your grace and love for us, God. And just want to pray that you keep that fresh in our minds, God, that we are to make much of you, God. And as Sean is going out to L.A. and about to release a new album, you know, just keep fresh on his mind the purpose of why he got into ministry. And God, keep us broken. Keep us broken so that all we do is a reflection praise of your holy name and of who you want us to be, God. And we, in your holy name, we just ask the a prayer of protection and covering over Sean and his ministry team and his professional and business teams, that you will keep them safe in your hands. In your holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, Sean, thank you again just for your time today, and just want to pray for your blessings over over this next time. And when are you out in Los Angeles next?
I'm not sure. I was just there this like a week ago for a few days, doing a bunch of meetings. But it's kind of just hit or miss. So I we're kind of all over the place right now. Everything's about to happen.
Well, definitely, if you're out there again, drop me a note, and I'll send you some information on the foundation and the Africa trip and whatnot, and in the meantime, and look forward to just staying in touch more, my friend.
Cool. Well, thank you. Sorry about last time. I still don't know what fully happened. We never seemed to connect on the phone. I'm glad it worked this round.
This is pretty gala. That's okay. Everything was for a reason. I think, like I said, I think the Lord, it allows, because there's all the buildup and energy before the gala, and then it kind of just drops. And to be able to keep and sustain that is I think, God knows what he's doing. So no worries. We appreciate this time, your time today, and look forward to being able to stay in touch more. So,
what was the young lady's name that came with you guys to the airport, and she's the one that lives in LA, I think, maybe, or?
Yep, she lives in Los Angeles. Her and her husband, Jake, he's actually going to Kuwait on a security conference, and so Meredith, and she's the one that coordinated it. She's our current director from the foundation right now. She's actually at an Ian Clayton revival.
Is that kind of
concert or something? Yeah, this week, today and tomorrow. So she's like, I'm in prayer right now for you guys, and we'll definitely be lifting you up. And I would love to share her information with you as well, and so you could stay in touch with them. She's having her first baby in just a couple of months. So.
Oh wow! I wouldn't even noticed. She didn't even look like she was pregnant.
Pregnant. Yeah, I think she's five months or so. She's she's doing mid June, but she is an amazing woman, an amazing heart for God. And he and I met her husband and I met at
LA, like having them there.
You what? I'm sorry.
Is that what's kind of pulling you towards LA? Is having them there? Because I remember you kind of said something about it then.
Good question. Last September, the Lord's like, go. And I told him, okay. And I didn't really I had no reason, just besides God saying go. And I emailed a friend that I just met that summer and said, hey buddy, I'm not sure why I'm supposed to come out. I just feel like the Lord leading me. He's like, yeah, great. You're welcome to, stay with us. And then I kind of let it drop for a bit, and I ended up getting a voucher to fly out there. And I came back, and I had 1 week and open in November, and I'll have to tell you more about the details, but I went out to see some other friends, and then Meredith and Jake came and met, and then we met with their business partner, she's a talent manager. For a lot of the local talent agencies, for both the modeling and acting, and we were praying, and she's like, "I see you living in Los Angeles full time." And it started there, and I came back home, and the Lord affirmed it in the Book of Hebrews for me, and then multiple times that weekend as well, and He's continuing to lead up to that, and so I've been developing more of a relationship with this group out there as well, and whatnot, but I would love to introduce you to them. They all walk in some amazing in their giftings and just amazing people. And so that it kind of started through, you know, through a connection with Meredith, to answer your question directly. But
cool.
Yeah. So it's I'll send you their info and or could try to arrange a call if you are out there again and or even whenever. But she they're good people, really good people, and I've begun to rely on them more and more. They have a group called Key Faces, and so that's an like an online magazine that does it's got a good you know, I don't know, a large viewer base and so that they have some great ministries that they're a part of out there too. So
that's cool. Awesome.
Yeah. Great. Well, Sean, thank you again, and we don't take too much of your time, and we'll go on to Noise Trade and look at that song and get this video uploaded as well, and I'll touch bases with you very, very soon, just offline, and begin to pray about just next steps. And whether Tanzania happens or not, I look forward to just staying in touch with you more and just seeing how God's developing and working your life. And we'd love to continue to pray with you and for you.
Thank you. I thank you so much. I mean, you've been extremely kind and generous. And thanks for just being, I guess, yourself and following your own call and passions, and cool, man. I can hear God's alive in you, man. It's good.
I appreciate it. Did you get that text in the book of Samuel that I sent to you the other day?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know the number, and it didn't dawn. I was like, okay, now it all makes sense. Like I'm horrible. I get those a lot, so I'm like I don't always know where they're coming from. Sorry.
Yeah, right. Well, no, it was earlier, and I usually start with a call and then but I wanted to get that sent out to you, but we'll definitely, whenever the Lord's laying something on my heart, I'll would love to share it with you too. And so
cool.
Cool, brother. Well, thank you again so much. Drew, did you have anything else?
No. Again, thank you for what you shared. You actually made my quote wall, so to be a light in the darkness and not a light in the light. So congratulations on that.
Okay.
So, but it was nice talking to you, and thank you for all the work you do in ministry, and this impact that you have on us. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, you as well, man. I hope the same thing for you as you discover what it is, you're doing with music and where God is leading you. I just, it's awesome. Sounds like good things are happening.
Things are. Good things here in Utah. God is, this place is about to explode. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
So, we're really excited.
We're actually,
what's going to happen here.
Yeah, we're actually trying to coordinate at the end of 2015. I feel like the Lord has laid on our heart a larger conference, and one that, and I don't want to be assumptive or premature, but one that, it'd be like an IHOP or a Passion or a Jesus Culture type thing. And so we've got some friends that are involved in those organizations that we're looking at. But it wouldn't be necessarily one of those. They would be kind of our own over a weekend. But we want to bring, multiple groups. Like maybe, and we're prayerfully at, considering like people like maybe Francis Chan or whoever, where it hopefully would just bring like a kind of little revival conference here, and maybe just having some support from Harvest or IHOP group or whatnot. And so we'd love to keep you in mind in that as well, brother, and see what God has. And so it's something that we haven't had here before, and we're just beginning to lay the groundwork for it now with venue venue considerations and whatnot. So, but that'd be great. Again, maybe get you back out to Salt Lake in a year and a half.
Yeah,
or two.
Awesome. Yeah.
Or if not sooner, with the release of your new album. So, and I coordinate with a lot of the Christian concert events out here. So, we should probably say you should have your people get in contact if you want to try to schedule a concert out here with the release of your new album. So,
Awesome.
Yeah, if you want to pass that on, you know, they can contact Dewey and they can know how to get in touch with me as well, and we could see if we could get that to work out.
Cool. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your kindness.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, so Drew reproduces a lot of music just on his own and just with the different groups he's had. And so we've discussed, mechanical rights to some of your songs as well. I hope, I don't know if that would be an honor or a blessing to you, or but we've had some talks about some of that too. So
yeah, when you say mechanical rights, what do you mean?
Well, you know, what's the site, Drew?
Well, I think so. Dewey's wanting to record a couple songs. He's looking to develop himself as a musician, and I was going to help him record some of his stuff. So he's just wanting to license, some of your music. And re-record that.
I'd be honored.
For him, so.
Yeah, I don't really know how that works, but it. I don't think it's that.
Yeah, it's fun and it's tricky. It's nice when you could get someone else to do it for you.
you have to jump through a bunch of hoops to basically kind of have to. You probably have to prove what how many copies you're gonna do and all that. I don't know how that works.
They made it a lot easier through the Capitol EMG licensing division. And the way
like
they do it now is you pre-purchase.
Together way more. And EMI did.
So hopefully it'll
provide some income too, and it's
that.
Like as long as you'd be honored it'd be fun for us. So
no, I'd love to hear it. It's always exciting for me to hear other people's impressions or the way they view something, because my musical view of something is going to be different than someone else's, so it's always neat to see that, you know, because you own a song all completely different than I will, you know, it might mean something different to you than it does to me, but it's, I don't know, I've licensed a couple songs over the years, and I used to sing Some More Over the Rainbow.
Yeah, I saw that. It's on my top 10 list.
Yeah, it's really weird. Like, someone had given me like a sampler disc of old songs, just old timeless classics, and that song was on there. And I remember sitting in my room. I was living in Seattle at the time, and that song came on. And you know, it's one of those songs you've heard it a million times over the years. It's one of those classics that just you just know it, you know, Somewhere with the Rainbow. Well, you know, I knew it, and it came on, and I think for the first time I actually listened to the lyrics, and I remember in that moment, like, gosh, the lyrics of this song are incredible, and I just, like, I don't know. I don't know what it means for others, but I kind of made it my own, you know, like my own thing, but it
your own
me,
flavor.
It's a song. To me, it's a song about heaven, or you know, I don't know. But it's I always love that, you know, when others put on meaning, or I just like seeing other people's views on things. So if you do that, I'd love for you to share it with me. I would love to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Drew, I guess we've got some more work to do. we're going to have a studio session today, but we're going to postpone that till next week. And so, but we've been We're working very hard on this last few weeks with vocally and whatnot. And so, well, Sean, I'm glad I brought that up. I wasn't sure, and just it's great to hear your heart with it. And
oh man, I would love more power to you. From where I stand, I love that, and that's all. That's you couldn't say a more complimentary thing to me. I don't think it. You know, when you sing a song that I wrote, you're basically saying that I wrote something that is moving you enough that you want to reproduce it. And to me, that's an insane compliment that a song would live in you like that. So thank you for sharing.
Yeah, well, brother, you inspire me, and I know many others, in a great sense. And so, thank you. And it's not just musically, but just who you are, who God's made you, and I look forward to just a long term friendship with you, and whatnot. So, yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much. I'll definitely stay in touch.
Cool.
Very soon, and get that some of that stuff out to you right probably this weekend. And
feel free to. I mean, if you need to text me again, now that I know that's you, I didn't put it together. I was just and it happens frequently enough that I didn't really think anything of it.
No worries. Yeah. Yeah. I was in the middle of my quiet time. Otherwise I should have called first, but, absolutely will do. And I look forward to talking more. So,
yeah. Awesome. Cool. Awesome, fellas. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for giving me some time today and letting me, to share. And, thanks for sharing as well. And all that. So,
absolutely. All right, brother. Hey, God bless you. And we'll talk soon.
You guys as well. Take care.
Okay. Thanks. Bye. Thanks, Sharif.
Yeah, thanks, Dewey.
Okay. God bless, brother.